I got to be honest with you, it has been a blessing to be here thus far. Amen. And my prayer is that it will be a blessing to be here from here on out. Yes, I know that you agree with me in that. This, I believe with all of my heart that this is going to be one of the most important years in the history of this congregation. Now, you can make an argument that, well, they all are, because, you know, we all have the opportunity, every year we have an opportunity to do great things for the Lord, but I believe specifically, and if you think about it, look at last week and this week and just, you know, the sheer numbers and attendance, and it is a blessing to have to put up, you know, seats and have to accommodate people that are here. But, you know, last week we had a great attendance, and this week again, you know, a great number. It's just an exciting time to be a part of the work that's going on here at Highland Hills. And this is a great year as the plans are being made, and the, you know, the shepherds and the leaders of our congregation are meeting and talking about, you know, what is the direction that we're going to be going, and putting together a plan for the near future and the not so near future. It's an exciting time to be here. And I believe that it's important that we continue to look to God for all of the direction, all of the, you know, all of the input and all of the support as we go forward in being the congregation that God wants us to be. But one of the things that's going to determine the direction that we go is going to be the things that we choose to think about. You know, as we go forward in, you know, in 2008, you know, last week we talked about, you know, dealing with right now and all the plans that we make, and the plans don't mean anything. We can make plans after plan after plan unless we manage what we're doing right now in the here and now, deal with all of the obstacles and the disappointments and the discouragement and the good things and all of the right nows. If we can't deal with that, none of our plans come to fruition. And this morning, I want to continue that thought and talk about the thought processes that we have. Because really, that's the most important thing about each one of us is what we are thinking about. You know, growing up, I had an awesome experience growing up with a very, very godly mother who would used to give me great advice. You know, I would go to my mom and talk about all the problems that I had and all of the discouragements and disappointments. And I got to be real honest with you. Growing up was difficult for me because I was not particularly a popular guy in school, in middle school or high school. Now, early on in my marriage, when Vicki and I were dating or first married, I had a tendency to spin things in such a way that it made me seem as though I were more popular than I really was. Because I'm insecure as a new husband or, you know, whatever. And so, you know, I wanted her to be as impressed with me as possible. And so I wouldn't outright lie, but I would just, you know, spin it in such a way as to certain, you know. And over time, I, you know, came to confess and to be more open and honest, and you know, part of that process is confessing to you guys this morning that I really wasn't that popular in high school, and it, you know, it was for a lot of reasons. Some of them you guys might be aware of, but the fact is I wasn't, and it was a difficult time for me, and I was very insecure, and I had a lot of just, you know, issues that I had to deal with, and I didn't make friends easily. And you might be thinking, well, you still don't. That's enough out of you. But, you know, so that time was hard for me. And I would go to my mom and I would tell her about all these issues I had and problems. And, you know, and my mom was awesome. She would always listen. She would always listen to my problems. She would always have, you know, a lot of time just to sit down and hear what it was that I was going through, and to really, you know, want to experience that with me and want to know all the details. And she would always listen, but she always told me the same thing over and over and over again about all the problems that I had. Once she listened to them, once that she, you know, thought about them and really knew where I was coming from, over and over again, she would always tell me, you know, Shane, this is all in your head. The problems that you have are all in your head. And I remember thinking, no, mom, they're in my class. They're the people that I go to school with. They're the, you know, the, you know, all of the insecurities, all of the, you know, but what she was telling me was that the way that I thought about myself and other people was the root cause of the problems that I had. The way that I framed my experiences in my mind and the things that I chose to think about caused me to have the experiences that I ultimately had. My mom was a very wise lady. And she would always, you know, Shane, it's in your head. She quoted scripture to me and she would explain that you can think yourself into a good day or you can think yourself into a bad day. You can dwell on all of the issues and insecurities and problems that you have. You know, you can dwell on the things that people do to you that annoy you, that anger you, and you can have a really crummy day if that is what you choose to think about. Or you can think about all of the good things. You can choose to find the blessings and the positive things and dwell on those things and to think about those things and to concentrate on those things. And she would always have this wonderful way of saying, you know, it could be worse. And I would think, Mom, how in the world could this be worse? How in the world could this situation, this person's treating me like this and this person won't talk, how could this be worse? And she, one time she said, you know what, Shane, it could be worse. I could come to school and help you make friends. Yes, Mom, that would be worse. You know, so a lot of times it's what we think about. It's how we frame our thinking and what we choose to concentrate on that determines whether or not we're going to have a good day or whether or not we're going to have a bad day, whether or not we're going to have a good week or a bad week, and ultimately whether or not we're going to have a good or a bad life a lot of times. You know, there is a, you know, there's a lot of things that we think about. We think about what goes into our bodies. You know, we, I was talking to the FCA, the future, Fellowship of Christian Athletes at East Middle, yeah, the one that, they, yeah, East Middle School. You know, and I talked to them about, you know, if you look at a can of green beans right now at the store, there's a label on there that tells you the ingredients of that can. You know, 20 years ago, the ingredients listed on a can of green beans. You know what it said? Green beans. You know what it says now? It's like got 15 words you can't even pronounce. And it's about all of the thing, the preservatives of this and that. You know, all of these things. And you know why that's on there? Because consumers demand that we know what we're putting in our bodies. We demand that we know all of the chemicals and all the, I mean, even if there's trace amounts of something, we want to know what's in the green beans. Do we worry that much about what goes into our minds and what goes into our thoughts? You know, we think about and analyze and consider and make choices and about what we eat, what we consume. The question is, do we think about what we think about? Do we really consider what it is that we spend all day a lot of times thinking about? Do we think about what we think about? Ralph Waldo Emerson, the 19th century American writer and poet and orator, says, life consists of what a man is thinking about all day. John Locke, who was a 17th century English philosopher, he says, the actions of men are the best interpreters of their thoughts. And the 20th century writer or author of Foundations of Faith and one of the most quoted writers of inspirational maxims ever is William Arthur Ward. And he says that nothing limits achievement like small thinking, and nothing expands possibilities like unleashed thinking. Our thoughts and what we consider, they determine the outcome of our lives. And one of the most unknown authors, but he wrote one of the most powerful books that I've ever read. He's known as an unrewarded genius. James Allen says that you are today where your thoughts have brought you, and you will be tomorrow where your thoughts take you. You see, we focus on so many things. We focus on the outcome of our actions. We focus on, you know, what we eat, and we focus on, you know, this relationship or that relationship. We focus on our, you know, our flaws and our faults, or maybe our good things or whatever. But do we really consider what it is that we're thinking about? Dr. Jack Haskins of the University of Tennessee did a 12-year research study on the effects of media on how people think and on how that affects people. He used a simulated radio program, and for 12 years, he had different people listen to 5 minutes of news in this simulated radio situation. There was a group that listened to 5 minutes of bad news. There was a plane crash, there was a bus crash, there was a tsunami, there was an earthquake, there was this, the stock market did that, the, you know, people did this, you know, all this bad news, 5 minutes a day for a 5-day work week. And then he had another control group that listened to 5 minutes of positive things, not necessarily made up stuff, but just took news that was positive, and that's what they talked about. You know, this person did this good thing, somebody got rescued from this, whatever it was. 5 minutes of good news versus 5 minutes of bad news. And you know what he found after 12 years of research? The bad news group was more depressed. They believed that the world was an overall negative place. They were less likely to help other people. And they believed that what they heard would soon happen to them. They're paranoid. 5 minutes a day, just bad news. Do we consider what's going into our minds? Do we consider what it is that we think about? Like it or not, what we think influences what we do. Whether we like it or not, what we think about will determine what we do. If you don't believe me, you'll believe the advertisers, won't you? I mean, if money talks, if we believe where money is involved, money talks. The Super Bowl is coming up February the 3rd. I hope that you will join us for our Super Bowl party and bring canned goods and dry goods for the food pantries of Tullahoma and watch the game and have a great time. But you know what? There's going to be commercials during that Super Bowl because it's one of the most widely watched events at all. And you know what? 30 seconds of time goes for tens of millions of dollars. Just 30 seconds. So that people that want to make money can just get into the heads of the American people. And not just to mention the 30 seconds of time that costs money to show, but all of the research and programming and everything that goes into producing that commercial. If money talks, what we think about will determine. Because if I can get you to think about my product, I can get you to buy it. If I can get you to consider what it is that I offer, then I can get you to do, I can get you to get in your car, drive to the store, and purchase what it is that I'm selling. If I can just get you to think about it. Picture it like this. Picture your mind as a train. And there's these cars that are connected together. And your thinking is the engine of that. And it pulls your emotions, which then is connected to your behavior, which is then your consequences. It looks a little something like this. Wrong thinking, corrupt, defiled, paranoid, negative, bad thinking leads to negative emotions. And these negative emotions pull at us and they make us feel a certain way. I mean, do you recognize that what you feel like, how you feel, determines what you do? Because negative emotions will lead to unwise behavior. And unwise behavior specifically leads to devastating consequences. Who we are at its beginning is determined by what we think. On the other side of that, if you have right thinking, if you have positive and good, truthful, real thinking leads to positive emotions. And when we think positive things, if we have positive feelings, if we're not always negative, if we feel overall good, that's going to lead to wise behavior. Wise behavior on the other side of that has fruitful consequences. You see, there's a chain of events that has a consequence. And see, that's what we live through. The bottom of that, that's the circumstances of our lives. It's the situations that we deal with. It's what we have to overcome or what we have to use in our life. And it doesn't just happen by accident. It starts with where our minds are. It starts with where we're thinking. Great Christians think great thoughts. Not thinking on negative things. They choose to fill their minds with the good things of the Lord. The truth is that a mind flourishing with the deep truths and the deep insights of God is a powerful tool in His hands. But conversely, It's simply not possible to have a mind filled with flawed, pessimistic, cynical, corrupt thinking and to have an influence or a fruitful life in the kingdom of God. What we think about matters. What we think about will determine the outcome of our lives and the influence and the impact that we have on other people. There's two facts that I want to look at concerning our thinking. Two things, we'll go through them quickly, and I think we'll be done in record time today, but I hope that you have something that you can take with you this week and just think about. That's all, just think about it. The first fact that I want you to understand is that God commands great thinking. I mean, we're big on what does God tell us to do? And we're all about, you know, we got to do this thing and obey this rule and all that. You know, that's what church is about, right? Well, how about this? God commands us to think great thoughts. He commands us to think positive things. Look with me in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. A great pick-me-up verse if there ever was one. A great orientation verse. If you ever wake up one day and you just need to get your compass going in the right direction, if you ever just need to have something that this is what I need to do today. I mean, this is a will of God type verse right here. In Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, rejoice. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with your thinking because that's an action. And as we've talked about, actions come after what we think about. But he's just starting off, rejoice in the Lord. The fact of the matter is that no matter what the circumstances of life are, God says we can in Him rejoice. We can. God is so holy and so big, and He transcends all of the circumstances beyond our control. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. He doesn't say rejoice in the good times. He doesn't say rejoice when things are going well. Rejoice when your kids are doing the good things that you want to do. Rejoice when the stock market's up. He says rejoice always. And he says, I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Jesus Christ. Now that sounds like, yeah, that's good stuff. Man, I want to do that. However, you know, Paul, there's a little thing called life that happens, and it makes it hard to rejoice in the Lord always. It makes it real hard to let my gentleness be evident to all. I mean, you know, I can let my gentleness be evident to some, but, you know, have you met this person that I got to work with? Have you met this person that I got to live with? I mean, yeah, I can let my gentleness be evident to most, but let my gentleness be evident to all. How in the world? How do I do that? Well, like most things in the Bible, you got to keep reading. And he says, finally, brothers, because see, Paul anticipates the questions. Paul anticipates they're going to have a problem with what I just wrote. So I'm going to give them some instruction on how to do that. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. He says, think about those things. What we think about is the choice that we make. And Paul is saying, if you want to live the life that God is calling you to live, that God will enable you to live, think about. Now, I love that word, think on these things. He ends it with the word think on. And if you've got an NASB, a New American Standard Bible, or if you've got the King James, you'll notice that the word think is not in there. You know what he says in those, how it's translated? That same word is translated to dwell. It's the Greek word logizomai or something like that. Yeah, pronounce that. That's the word he uses. You know what it means? It means to deduce, to reason, to calculate. It means to ponder. It means to deliberate as if in the courtroom of your mind. To really just wrestle with and to pull apart and to, you know, to delve into, to look at the evidence on both, to deliberate this thing. It means to subject to protracted analysis or thought. That's not just a whimsical thing that passes through your mind. You know what he's telling us is that these things, these positive things, these aren't just, you know, fleeting butterflies of thought that just sort of come in and go out. You know what they are? It's what we wrestle with. It's what we chew on it. It's what we choose to fill our mind with. If you do this, this is going to take the better part of your day to deduce, to deliberate, to really grab a hold of and to subject it to protracted analysis. I love saying words like that from the pulpit because it just makes you sound so smart. I mean, if you think about subjecting to protracted analysis or thought, that's what he's talking about. That's the kind of effort that goes into that. It isn't just something that... So what are those things? What is it that we should subject to protracted analysis and we should deliberate, that we should dwell on? And you know why the other translators translated it as to dwell? Man, that's where you live. It's the same word that he says, you know, the same concept as in, you know, 1 John or John chapter 1. He said that the Word became flesh and he made his dwelling among us. He came and that's the word for tabernacle. And he just set up shop and camped out with us. I mean, he's saying that in our minds that we are to just set up shop and live in these kind of thoughts. What kind of thoughts are they? They're true. I mean, that right there, it's real, educated, godly thoughts. What did Jesus say? You will know the truth. What does the truth do? Set you free. It'll set you free. Negative thoughts. Pessimistic thoughts. Worrisome thoughts. What are they? Do you feel free when you're worrying about something? Do you feel free just like, oh, I'm so free. Now I have this to be afraid of. I'm free. Because I'm basking in my fear or I'm basking in my anger. I'm so free in my anger. No. But he says, dwell on the truth. Whatever's honorable. Do we ask ourselves, as the thoughts that I have, are these honorable thoughts? Are my intentions here honorable? Are they right? They're pure. My favorite word in the entire verse, lovely. Oh, what a great word. Are my thoughts, or the things that I choose to think about, are they lovely things? Are they things that I would just invite someone else to look at with me? I mean, we have some lovely things in my home. And when you come over to visit, I will show them to you. I have pictures of our kids that are just lovely. And we will stand around and say, look at how lovely they were. We have pictures of them sleeping. Oh, they're so lovely when they're sleeping. But they're, you know, those are things you want to share. Are the thoughts that we have, are they lovely? I love that. He says, of good repute. Are they admirable? Anything of excellence and worthy of being praised. That's what we should think on. That's what we should dwell on. That's what we should deduce and subject to protracted analysis. I'm going to say that a couple more times. That's the list of thoughts that God is commanding us to have right there. And it's going to take a choice to think on these things. Because we're going to be offered other things along the way. We're going to be offered things during the day, things that aren't so true, things that aren't so honorable, things that may or may not be right. We're going to have an opportunity to think about things that aren't pure or not very lovely. It's a choice. God commands us to think great thoughts. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, he says that a mind that is set on the things of the flesh, things of the world, bring forth death. But the mind set on the Spirit brings forth life and peace. I mean, that's the kind of things that we need to think about. In Colossians chapter 3, in verse 2, it says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. God commands us to take our thinking from the world and place it in heavenly things, in holy things, in pure things. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. We're to get into the habit of thinking the right thoughts. It should be what we habitually do. Now, the reality of that is that habits have to be broken and they have to be formed. It might be the case that we have negative thought habits, that we have not so true, not so honorable. Well, the thing to do isn't to leave here today thinking, oh my goodness, I have no hope. I think about negative things. Get into the habit. The more that we change our thinking for the better, the sooner we will have a habit, positive thinking. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 tells us to make every thought one that glorifies God. It says to bring into the control of this, to bring captive every thought into the Holy Spirit. The second thing that I want you to know, you are what you think. Not only does God command great thoughts, He commands great thoughts because God knows that we are what we think. I mean, you've heard that saying before, you are what you eat. If you just eat, junk food all the time and you don't eat healthy, well, you're not going to be healthy. If you just, pile on the calories and the sugar and all that kind of stuff, then it should be no secret why we're not healthy. And you can't sit and have a poor diet and then years down the road think, well, why in the world do I feel so horrible? Why am I so tired? Why am I out of shape? Why can't I do this? It's because you eat bad and probably other bad habits in your life. See, the fact is you are what you think. I love the way that that Stott reveals this in his commentary in Galatians. He puts it in these terms. He puts it in the sowing and reaping, the growth and the harvest. That any time that you sow something, it's going to grow into what was sown. Any seed, don't be surprised if you go and you plant a lot of corn, and whoa, corn grew. I had a garden this summer, and it was an amazing garden. It was the miracle watermelon patch. You have no watermelons, you go on vacation, and boom, you come home, there's a watermelon. But you know what? We planted certain things in that garden. And although it was a surprise when they grew, it wasn't a surprise what they were. Because, we planted, squash, and lo and behold, squash popped up. Right where we planted it. And we planted, watermelon vines, and whoa, that's where it grew there. And we planted these tomato plants and they grew there. What you plant, what you sow is ultimately what you're going to get. And John Stott puts it this way, if you sow a thought, what's going to happen? You'll reap an action. What you think about is what you're going to do. And if you sow an action, then you're going to reap a habit. That's what, if what you do over and over again is that's what you're going to habitually do. And if you sow a habit, if you allow this habit to be what you do over and over and over again, then that eventually is going to reap a character. That's who you're going to be. That's that's your character. What you think about, what you do habitually, that's your character. And if you sow a character, you will reap a destiny. Who we allow ourselves to be will ultimately determine where we are. Eventually, we are the product of what we think about. Eventually, I'll say that again. Eventually, we are the product of our thinking. If we as a body of Christ, as we as a congregation of Christ's people here at Highland Hills Church of Christ, if we endeavor in the year 2008 to think on these things, if we think whatever is true, whatever is right, honorable, lovely, we're going to be people of Christ. We're going to be people who make a difference in a community and bring other people into the loving and saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because eventually what we think about will be who we are. What do you want to dwell on? The question this morning is, what do you want to think about? Where do you want to live is what he's saying. Where do you want your mind to live? Do you want God to radically change your thought process? Do you want God to supernaturally come into your life and to cause you to be able to think about all of those good things, to center your mind, to think on things above, to think about positive things so that you will have the positive, hopeful, transcendent life that He has promised? That's what you can have. God can remake you. He can reprogram your mind so that it is better for you, easier for you. You are able to think good thoughts, to think great thoughts. You know what the world has done to break you down, to corrupt your thinking? God can reverse. He can reverse it in an instant. In the negative things, He can give you something positive to think about. In the negative, in the brokenness of this world, He can give you healing and rightness to think about. In the weeks to come, we're going to be looking at what it is in our mental diets and how to claim the blessedness of a God-glorifying life. Because this just isn't something that, oh, okay, I'm going to do that. There's habits that are involved. There's disciplines that are involved. And there's a way to live to where we can claim the blessedness that God has promised to His people. And He's promised it to the world through His people. So coming up, that's what we're going to be talking about. How do I claim the life that God has so richly blessed me with and so richly promised me with? But in order to do that, you have to be one of His children. You have to be a child of God to have the blessedness of God. And maybe for some of you this morning, it involves confessing His name as Savior and Lord and being baptized into a new life and going into that water and coming up a brand new, remade, new creation. If that's where you are this morning, this invitation is for you. The invitation to come forward while we sing this very next song and to say, you know what, I am done thinking worldly, negative, pessimistic, cynical thoughts. I want God to remake me. I want a new mind and a new heart. You can have that. He offers that. If you need to be a child of His to claim the blessed life that He has prepared, that He has planned, you can do that. If you want to reconfess, if you want to just be to be encouraged, to be, you know, maybe that's you. Maybe you are a child of His, but you've just been overrun by all the negative things, and you need the prayers of this congregation. Whatever your need is this morning, would you make it known as together we stand and as we sing.